It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
Now that sounds like a radio show. Let's do this thing. Happy Wednesday morning to you. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan. 105.1 FM playing hurt this week on The Fan. That's all right. We'll make it through it. Play Chesterfield coming up today. We'll check in with James River High School at 10:30. Looking forward to that segment. Had a great night last night chatting about college sports NIL. We'll get to that in a bit as well. Jack Joachim at 11 o'clock. Talking VCU basketball. We always look forward to his appearances on the program. We'll also go around the NFL. One of my favorite NFL stats on the line this weekend. I'll get to that in a couple minutes. But first, I wanted to say this yesterday, and I thought, no, don't be an idiot. Think about it for a day. So I spent the day thinking about it. There's something I want to say that I want to predict. And listening to the Junkies today just confirmed that I'm right. And it's all right. You can boo me and call me into whatever. I'm just coming out with it. The Washington Commanders, I believe, are going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night. I think they're going to win the game. I think there's been this giant overreaction, which is not unwarranted. It was a bad game Sunday. Is the rival? It was a butt kicking. It was bad. There's a Jaden Daniels injury. That's bad. I get that. And yet, I believe that in the NFL, no team's as bad as they look and no team's as good as they look. Except the Jets. They stink. We'll get to them in a bit. This is a defense. We did Commanders Rewind yesterday. This is a defense that is less than the sum of its parts right now. Isn't that exactly the kind of group you want to be betting on? Isn't that exactly the kind of group you... They could have a season-changing win. The Chiefs have it rolling again. They're rolling. 4-3 back in the mix. They played a lot of one-possession games last year, and they've played a lot of close games this year. They're coming off of a 31-0 thrashing of the Raiders. I'm just saying, that's the kind of game that has any given Sunday written all over it. One team just won 31-0, the other team just lost 44-22. How many times have we seen this in the NFL? The Packers thrashed the Commanders on Thursday night, get the long rest, lose to the Cleveland Browns on the other side. I just want to say something right now. This Commanders team, and I'll probably be harsh on them as the show goes on because they deserve that right now. This Commanders team is better than the Cleveland Browns. Yeah? How's that for a take for you? And the Browns beat the Packers. It's a thing that happened in the NFL. I think receivers are coming back. I think that's going to make a difference. Debo Samuel's going to play. It would not surprise me if Terry's going to play. Sam Cosmi. Week two of playing. And I believe, now here's the part where I may be getting crazy. I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to take a minute to himself this week. He's going to turn on the old clicker and he's going to say, I may not be using my running backs properly. It might be time to shuffle up the order. Just saying. If he does that, I really like these guys. I like what they bring to the table. I like the mix. He's got 8 days to draw up some winners. I think he's going to drop some winners. Does it matter if Jaden plays? Obviously, I'd rather have Jaden than not have Jaden. I don't think it matters for the purposes of this prediction. To me, this is about Cliff dialing up winners, getting rolling with the receivers, getting the running game going, and the receivers is getting those guys healthy, right? If the top three don't play, I am running away from this prediction. But I think you get Debo back for sure, I think. And I think there's a chance Terry plays. And that you get Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz had the drop last week. He's going to play motivated. He's in Kansas City. He wants to show Travis Kelce a thing or two. I think the ingredients are there for a Commanders upset win over the Chiefs. On defense, we saw Bobby Wagner play his best game last year after the losing streak. It would not surprise me if that happened again this week. It would not surprise me if they pulled it together, if you saw a scrappy underdog-like performance from that group. It also would not surprise me if they give up a zillion passing yards to Patrick Mahomes. Look, that is possible too. I'm not staking my career on this one. There's also a chance this defense is just garbage. But I think there's some pieces there. I think Frankie Louvu's good. We saw it all last year. I think Mikey Sanders still's good. I think we saw it last year. I think Dan Quinn understands he got to grab the steering wheel and get this thing going. That, to me, we'll talk about this throughout the show. But I want to plant the flag right now. I think the Commanders can and will win on Monday Night Football over the Chiefs. We'll see. That may age poorly. Rack that now. You can use that against me for the rest of your life. That's available to you. They broadcast this out into the open end of the world. My favorite NFL stat. I don't know if it's my favorite NFL stat, but I do love this NFL stat. Only four quarterbacks in NFL history have wins over all 32 teams, have beaten all 32 teams. Seven quarterbacks have beaten 31 teams. Obviously, right? Ben Roethlisberger, Patrick Mahomes. They're in the club. They've beaten 31 teams. You can't beat yourself. Four quarterbacks have done that circuit, switched teams, and finished it off. So Peyton Manning, of course, leaves the Colts, beats the Colts. Drew Brees left Miami early in his career, so he had it maybe the cleanest of anybody. Tom Brady, y'all remember that game. He came back with the Bucs, beat the Patriots. And, of course, Brett Favre, who, the less said about Brett Favre's late-stage career, the better. You know why I'm mentioning this, of course. We've got a chance of five this weekend. Aaron Rodgers taking on the Green Bay Packers, Sunday Night Football, a chance to join the club. And I think the Packers are better than the Steelers, but not so much better that we can't say there's a chance here. There's a chance here. Weirdly, Matthew Stafford is also in the 31 club.
Oh.
But it's not the Lions. He's never beaten the Steelers. Just very randomly.
That feels very random.
Super random, right? Yeah, was with the Lions forever, goes to the Rams. The Rams have beaten the Lions.
Yeah.
With Matthew Stafford. But it actually didn't get him to 32 because he's never beaten the Steelers.
Just got this side grudge on the Steelers.
And it's NFC, AFC, so yeah. You only get a chance every third year. Somebody's got to line that. When he was in college, the bye game. We got to get a bye game going, a 19th game here. There is another quarterback at 31, randomly. Kerry Collins. Yeah, I could have given you all day on that.
That's not ringing a bell at all.
Did not beat the Dolphins. He's out of chances. He's been gone for a little while. Alex Smith never beat the Chiefs.
Sure.
Yeah, Washington went back, but that, I don't think the Washington years are all that.
He doesn't mention those in his resume.
All that. Russell Wilson has never beaten the Seahawks. Had the chance. That was his first game in Denver. Ooh. Was against the Seahawks. They did not win, though.
Ooh.
Aaron Rodgers could join that club. Him and Russ could be in the club. I don't know if you want to be in a club with Russ right now. Russ has hot QB beef right now, though, with Sean Payton, and I'm kind of here for that. Like, the one thing I could say about Russell Wilson, and I want to play the Jets clip first, not the Russ clip first, Woody Johnson, because that's the hottest QB beef right now. The one thing I will say, though, about this is, Russ is not a sympathetic figure at the moment. Sean Payton is a less sympathetic figure at any given moment. This is good beef for Russ. This will be good for the old image. This will be good for the old Hall of Fame discussion that we love to have with Russ. No, number one QB beef at the moment. This is New York Jets owner, Woody Johnson. He is the owner of the whole team. And he was asked today, you're 0-7, things aren't good, you're going to fire the coach? And he was like, no, I think the coach is good, but let me tell you who's hot garbage.
It looks like he's turning around parts of it. You know, it's hard when you have a quarterback with, you know, with a rating that we got, you know. I mean, he has the ability, but something just is not jiving. But if you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results if you go across the league. You have to play consistently with at that position, and that's what we're going to try to do. If we can just complete a pass, it would look good. You got to complete some passes. You got to convince them that you can do something.
If we could just complete a pass.
Man.
Woo.
The bar's low.
Reports out of New York this morning suggest that they're looking into benching him and going to Tyrod Taylor.
Man.
Tyrod Taylor, our guy.
How's the underside of that bus look?
Woo.
That's wild.
There's laying under the bus, and then there's whatever that is.
He's driving the bus and backing up over him and then going forward again. It can't complete a pass. I mean,
Justin Fields, I mean, what's his rating? 70? Hang on a second. He'd just complete a pass. That'd be nice. That's a vote of confidence for the coach, by the way. I've never seen the vote of confidence done in that way. Because a lot of times they'll come out and be like, I believe in Aaron Glenn. I think he's the guy for us. He'd be like, you're lying. I don't believe you. That is how you do the vote of confidence in a coach, so that we're all like, I think he believes in the coach.
Yeah, I do believe him. Yeah.
I believe the coach's job is safe. I believe there's one person on the team whose job is not safe.
Woo.
Believe that pretty firmly. Justin Fields joining the club, people who leave Pittsburgh all of a sudden, that things aren't as bright on the other side. Get him to Minnesota pronto. Get him into career rehab is what I say. Lots of quarterback beef out there. But I love the 32-team stat. I wouldn't say I'm pulling for Aaron Rodgers. Probably would never say I'm pulling for Aaron Rodgers.
Something you keep to yourself when you do it.
But I love the club. I love the possibility. Play Chesterfield is 19 minutes away. We'll check in with James River. Our guy Zach Joachim joins the program at 11. We'll crosstalk with AWOD. We will get his thoughts on my bold prediction. You are listening to the home of the Commanders,
105.1
FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. I do have a little breaking news for you, actually. I want to bring AWOD on for impromptu crosstalk. The NFL's doing their league meetings today, the fall league meetings. Their big announcement, the Pro Bowl is switching to a flag football format to get us ready for Olympic flag football in 2028. And it will be played in the Super Bowl stadium on Tuesday night of Super Bowl week. So I bring on AWOD for impromptu crosstalk. We will be in the Super Bowl city on Tuesday night of Super Bowl week. Will you attend the Pro Bowl games?
It depends where the parties are that week, because I mean, that's a better opportunity for interviews, I think, the party than the Pro Bowl game, where you'd have to watch them run around and play flag football and pretend to try for 3 hours. And then you're hoping for some availability post-game. Whereas we just went to some random happy hour, and I spoke to Master P, right? Joey Porter Sr.
Yeah.
And several other NFL insiders, like from NFL Network, the one we were hanging out with. No, the...
Mike Garofalo?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool, dude.
Everybody's there.
It's such a hard no for me.
Yeah.
Mike's probably going to have to go. They'll probably make him go for NFL Network.
The thing is if Stubb was in San Francisco, he would be there.
He would send Stubb on your behalf.
Well, not even. He would tell us he wants to go. He is the biggest Pro Bowl fan that I have met.
Stubb would just, like, that would be the highlight of the trip.
Yeah, for him.
Would be the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, that's between
now,
you guys.
They did flag football like 3 years ago, right?
They did, yes.
So this is just a full-time commitment. From now on, every Pro Bowl will be flag football.
Until the Olympics, at least, because there's going to be flag football at the Olympics. I'm a hard no. You're not going to catch me at flag football during Super Bowl week. We have too much socializing to do that week.
We had a flag football expert on who did predict no NFL players will actually make the U.S. Olympic team. I kind of still think that's hard to believe, but he was just saying that it is such a different game.
My favorite is the champion flag football quarterback who is like, I'm better than Patrick Mahomes at flag football.
Right.
It's like, no, you're not.
He kind of convinced me that this guy is right simply for the fact that, like, you have to dodge the guys coming and taking your flag, and it's a different, like, lower to the ground type thing.
Let me just say this.
Darrell Hoosh Duquette is who we're talking about.
And good for him. Let me just say this. If you took the five best NBA players, they could be a winning flag football team.
No. You disrespect the sport, man.
I am disrespecting the sport of flag football. Yes. If you took the five best athletes in a major American sport, they would be better at flag football than the current flag football champions in the United States.
No. Absolutely.
It's not that different of a sport.
It is, Michael. When you strap on the flags, it is different.
This is like...
It's the rules. The guys would have to understand. Like, there's no tackling. You cannot...
I'm aware there's no tackling in flag football. I accounted for that in my calculations.
I'm just telling you, and I am... Because I had the expert on the show, and I'm backing him here, you are wrong, and you will not find out you're wrong until the Olympics come when no one is on the roster.
I think we need a qualifying game. We need a game of NFL players against flag... You know how, like... gymnastics, ice skating, all that, they do like the U.S. Olympic trials, right?
Yeah.
Like at track and field, they go to Oregon, and it's like, let's see who's going to be on the team. I think we need that event, but for flag football.
I think they're going to have those type of events. Now, remember, they had all of these for three-on-three basketball, and no NBA player that was currently playing chose. Jimmer Fredette ended up winning it because the guys didn't commit. This is also part of it. So the NFL players have to commit to showing up to a flag football event instead of getting paid $50,000 to do an appearance somewhere else.
Honestly, I think this talk will help. I think all this noise of, like, these people are better at a football-adjacent sport than you are, I think if we could just keep that noise up for 3 years, that will make them want to do this and make them want to dominate.
Yeah.
My fear is that'll be a great game. That'll be fun. The qualifying round will be fun. But then we'll get to the Olympics. Samoa's going to field a team. Like, who else? Like, is there going to be enough competition, or is this going to be even worse than the original Dream Team?
Well, that's kind of the point there, is this American flag football team that's currently playing is blowing competitors out by 40.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring in the Ringers. Let's bring in the Monstars, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Well, they're already winning by 40. We don't need those guys. And are they even going to make the team? Because they have to commit to the practices, to the workouts, to the tryouts. That's the whole... I hate that I'm promoting Darrell Hoosh Duquette.
Yeah.
But I am.
Darrell Hoosh not going to make the Olympics because Patrick Mahomes is better than him at flag football.
He won't be in 3 years. Watch that.
Patrick Mahomes won't be good in 3 years?
He won't be. He will not be. I mean, I'll bet you $100. Patrick Mahomes is not the flag football starting quarterback.
Is the bet that Patrick Mahomes is not the best quarterback in the NFL in 3 years?
He's not the best flag football quarterback in America in 3 years. Yes.
The flag football part's wild, but are you betting on a Patrick Mahomes career drop-off, or is this just flag football related?
No. I'm telling you that the flag football quarterback...
Because Patrick Mahomes will be MVP-caliber quarterback in 3 years.
Not in flag football.
I'm telling you that these flag football guys have no clue what's about to hit them. That's what I'm telling you.
Right, and I'm telling you right now that I'm willing to even up it to $500. Because you're wrong. Because I had the expert on my show.
You had a guy on your show who said flag...
Who's covered flag football for the last 10 years, Michael, as the sport has risen to the point where it's gotten to the Olympics.
You had an expert on,
yes.
Who, in his very neutral opinion, decided that the sport he covers is good.
No, we also had the coach on the show, too.
Oh,
and,
well, okay.
And the coach came in and said, look, we will they can try out. They're going to have to fully commit if they're going to make the team. That's what it comes down to. These NFL guys are not going to fully commit, and then they're going to get even more pissed when they get embarrassed out there in a practice.
No, he's not going to be the coach. Andy Reid's going to be the coach.
Oh, my goodness.
You're just going to pick it. I mean, this whole thing is...
You're just disrespecting the sport so much.
Yeah, it's lovely, the little thing they do with the flag football and all that, but we're going to let the real players play on the actual stage in the Olympics.
No, not
these guys.
No.
Let me raise the stakes for you for a second here.
Yeah.
All right. The Moscone Center in San Francisco, I don't know. That's where Radio Row is. That's also where the flag football game will be. And also, it is at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on that Tuesday. That's half an hour after your show ends. You're just going to have to walk down the hallway to watch this, Adam. Will you walk down the hallway to watch the Pro Bowl games?
I might bring you with me to show you that flag football is not nearly as competitive as the actual professional flag football that would be played in the Olympics.
I'm actually busy then doing not that.
You're just losing more bets is what you're doing.
I'm losing
more. Are we locking this in $100? Mahomes is not the starting quarterback. Or are you just going to walk it back in 3 years?
I will give you $100 that an active NFL player is the starting quarterback for our American flag football team. I don't need, like, I need them all, though, in case Mahomes is like, my ankle, I can't do it. Like,
I mean,
we're going to get Jaden Daniels instead.
I think it's going to, Jaden, maybe like Jaden Daniels is, but that's where I'm talking, younger, right? Like, it's the quarterback's going to be someone that's playing college football right now that does not get drafted to the pros and fully commits to flag football.
No, it will be an active NFL player.
No, it won't.
It will be the quarterback of the American flag football
team. No, it won't. And I'm not even sure that all the teams will fully allow that their quarterbacks go out there and risk injury.
Yeah, no, it will be an active quarterback of an active NFL team. It will be the quarterback of the American flag football team.
$100. Right. Yeah, locked in.
I will see you in 3 years.
Yeah.
When we listen to this clip...
With interest, that'll be $130
into
my pocket.
Yeah, but with inflation, that's not going to buy a cheeseburger by then either. So, you got a house now. You're good. You're hedged against inflation, as they say.
I guess so.
When our houses are worth $3 million then, and we're still complaining that we can't afford anything. That's how it'll go. We'll also laugh at why I was doing this show without a voice. But that's neither here nor there. To answer the questions... Yes, I lost my voice on Sunday. Yes, I've been powering through it since. No, it doesn't hurt, actually, at all. Maybe I'll need to pull the plug at some point, but I will do it only when I absolutely have to.
Why don't we answer the question that everyone's wondering of, why are we doing an early crosstalk?
Yeah, because I found out this Pro Bowl news and you were sitting here.
Oh, okay. I thought it was because you had somebody else lined up from a newspaper source that just slept in through his segment.
Oh.
That's what I had thought.
Oh,
that's what I thought.
So a person who covers VCU basketball for the newspaper, who is scheduled to be on right now, but didn't answer the phone because presumably he is still asleep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very possible. Yeah. No, it's very possible that is an explanation there. That checks out. We also will not have crosstalk at its regular time on your show, but that's for a very important reason. There's free food downstairs.
Yes.
And I'm
very excited about that.
And I need to go get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be sending Jeremy down to get plates for me and Stubb.
That's that's good producer work right there. That is a key producer. I'm sure you did that with the Junkies.
Oh yeah.
When there's free things, you're the designated representative.
When it happened with the Junkies, it was always a very bad look for me because let's say El Zol.
Well, you had to walk in and get six of whatever.
Seven. Yes. I would have to walk in and make five trips for four of the Junkies, and then for myself, and then Drab and Valdez would be yelling at me to get them something. Yeah. And then it got to the point where the other stations started complaining, and so then when food drop-offs came to the Junkies, we would have a sign that said, this is for 106.7 The Fan employees only.
So you got from the other stations, but then threw up the stiff arm when they got it for you.
Yeah, but then I would play peacemaker and bring, Chepe, something nice, because he would hook me up, and I was taking care of people, because I knew I was the little man on the totem pole there that had to help everyone.
Since you're a flag football expert, what's more important, the running back or the receiver?
I'm not the flag football expert. I have the flag football expert on my show. I might call him right now. Do you want to get him on next segment, Michael? Because we can make this happen. He listens all the time. You don't want to talk about it.
I have no issues talking about how the American flag football team will consist of NFL players, with no disrespect to these guys in whatever little league they're doing. The NFL players will represent American flag football in the Olympics.
They're going to try.
Yes.
They're not going to fully commit. And
you're
make
suggesting
the team and
there
play.
Will be a qualifying round and the NFL players will not
I'm saying there's
going
to be
qualify.
Like a 2-week training camp where they're going to whittle it down to like the 15-man roster.
Yes.
No NFL player will last through that 2-week training camp fully committed outside of maybe one, like a Tyreek Hill who's already said he is all in.
Well, that will Tyreek Hill still be a thing then?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
You're the one saying that all the quarterbacks are still going to be a thing by then.
Patrick Mahomes will still be a thing in 3 years. I feel very confident about that.
He will not want to do flag football. And his body, which is getting more and more of a dad bod every year, will not be able to dodge flag football players. It's a different game.
He dodges Max Crosby.
Max Crosby couldn't make the flag football team. You have to be like more athletic to the straight line. Like, I'm going to get the expert on because I'm not sounding stupid here.
All right. That's flag football. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app on a Wednesday morning. You never know what's going to happen. Here on The Fan, Awad's sitting near me. He starts at noon, Awad Radio, noon to 3. Grant and Danny will drive you home as we get you ready for another big weekend in the world of sports. But we're also getting ready for the 2028 Olympics. And so Awad's sitting next to me. I guess we'll introduce the whole story here. We were talking about they're going to do flag football at this year's Pro Bowl instead of a Pro Bowl. and it's in anticipation of the Olympics, which are in LA, and flag football is going to be an Olympic sport for the first time. And Adam says to me, well, you know, those aren't going to be NFL players. There are like actual flag football players, which I disagreed with. I think the whole thing's going to be a marketing vehicle for the NFL. Adam's like, no, no, no. I got the guy to talk to. Adam, do you want to introduce?
Yeah, we've got Del Brown right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Check out Del On Air, the number one flag football podcast in the United States. Del, let me just say this. Don't back down to Michael Phillips. I know you don't know him like you know me, and you'd go at me all day.
Del, what's up, dude?
But don't back down to Michael.
Hey, hey.
How we doing?
I will not, and I, this is a debate that I've had a million times, yeah. But I'm ready to hear, you know, the opposition.
Yeah, and you will have this debate a million times between now and L.A., so I appreciate you doing the debate with us. Here's the situation. These are the best athletes on the planet. They're going to be representing the U.S., and it's going to be a showcase for the NFL players. And I believe, and you are welcome to talk me out of it, I believe you could teach an NFL player, an NFL star, to play flag football, and they could be very good at it.
And I, first of all, I don't disagree with you there. However, flag is a nuanced game. So first and foremost, what you got to understand is that the first thing you got to do is qualify. You have to qualify to play in the Olympics. And when you qualify, that means you have to play in tournaments leading up to that. And you have to have a certain amount of athletes that participate in those things. We had our qualification tournaments the start of September. First week of NFL season. So that's one's going to be an issue. So what you're telling me is that we're going to have these flag football guys qualify for the Olympics, and then when the Olympics come around, you just snatch every player and then replace them with NFL players.
Yes, because they do this in basketball too, when they do the FIBA tournaments and all that. They let, like,
they don't do this in basketball though.
Don't they let the college players play in like the FIBA tournaments and then, like, you know,
no.
the KDs,
no,
of the world get,
is,
get...
No, but like, check out the last FIBA tournament and then see who was in the Olympics. It Anthony Edwards, I feel like, was one of the players. There was no college players, I'll say that. There was no college players. They were all NBA players. And then Anthony Edwards, I feel like, was the one player who might have been still around from the FIBA team, but it was all NBA players, and they just revamped NBA players. But on top of that, let's just talk about the nuances of the game. You got to understand that the NFL field is 100 yards long, right? A flag football field is 70, and that's including the end zones. And it's 25 yards wide. So I don't know.
That's shorter.
Yeah. So what NFL players, like, what, like, there's only 5% of NFL players that can actually even make a pro level flag football team anyway.
There's
so and we're talking about quarterbacks, receivers, certain running backs, and certain defensive backs. There's no press corner. So if you're a press corner, you can't play in flag football because there's no contact. We don't use linebackers, linemen, or any of those things. So those guys aren't going to make it. So you're really talking about the elite quarterbacks and a lot of receivers.
So what part would they, like, if you take a receiver who's good in the NFL right now, what are they going to struggle with in flag football?
The size of the field and length of the field. When you run a post route in the NFL, you're running it a different way than you were running on a flag football field. One, the starting and stopping of flag football, the hips and dips of flag football. When I'm running, if I see two people converging, I'm going to do what we call a dip, where I might be 6 feet tall, but my flags are going to be 3 inches from the ground. What NFL player is going to be reaching? Like, flag pulling is a unique skill, and that's something that everybody can't do, and that's years and years of practice. And I'm just trying to figure out what NFL players is going to take years and years to learn how to pull a flag. You think when you watch the Pro Bowl and these guys are pulling those flags, those aren't even the flags that we actually use in flag football. So don't get the misconception that what's going on in the NFL Pro Bowl is what actually happens. Us real flag players, when we watch the Pro Bowl, we laugh at that because we understand that that's not actually what we do.
Oh, I hope they do real rules in the Pro Bowl then, because we got to start getting ready.
Real rule. I would venture to say this. if we put the USA flag team against the top NFL players, the NFL players would lose.
That's the game I want. That's what I want in the Olympic year. The best flag players against the NFL guys who want to represent the U.S. And the winning team gets to represent the U.S. I got no issue.
No, come on now.
What do you...
You have a coach, and he watches those two teams face off against each other, and then he plucks the best players. If he plucks all NFL guys, that's fine. I'm telling you, and I think Dell is telling you, the coach will watch that game and pick maybe one NFL player. Maybe one.
Is that the quarterback?
I don't... almost definitely not.
Almost definitely not.
Yeah.
Have you seen the top level flag football quarterbacks? Have you seen those guys?
No, but obviously I'm going down a YouTube rabbit hole as soon as we're done here.
Well, that's what you need to do. So imagine Lamar Jackson just running down the field and I'm not going to say doing cartwheels, but doing things you've never seen a person do, and nobody can tackle him.
Yeah,
like you can't tackle him at all.
Would you compare this to like how basketball players say, well, sometimes the best NBA players aren't even in the league. Go see Rucker Park. Go see street ball. Is that kind of what you're saying here? Maybe.
I wouldn't go to that extent because, like I said, I think it's a nuanced and a unique sport. So when we play flag football, it's not technically like an and-one / Rucker Park kind of thing. There's a not saying that those guys don't have skill, but flag football, there's a lot of skill that goes into it. There's a lot of timing that goes into it. When I tell you about dips, I probably like 90% of NFL players would tear an ACL trying to dip in flag football. And I'm showing you some highlights of what the dip is, which is probably the most effective, most used move in flag football. And that's something that is you have to learn that over years. That's not something that just happens overnight. And that's something that keeps people from pulling your flag. And pulling flags are very difficult. We talk about the defenders in the NFL. Michael Parsons, who's a very good rusher in the NFL, would die in flag football. He wouldn't be able to get close to any quarterback. And that's what we're saying. Like, the NFL game is not that... I mean, the NFL players are very talented at what they do. But if we're talking Olympics, we're not sending our best tennis players from America to go win the pickleball Olympics. We're not doing that. And it just is what it is.
All right, I like that analogy. Because all the tennis stars do think they'd be great at pickleball.
Right, right, right. No, so this argument started with Patrick Mahomes. Dell, will Patrick Mahomes be on the roster?
No.
Nah, he will. Yeah, if not him, Jaden Daniels, another NFL dynamic quarterback, will be the quarterback of the U.S.
And I would say this: the one position that does translate is quarterback. But that also just goes into the defense that you're playing against. And I like to tell people this: in football, the average time that an NFL quarterback is throwing the ball is what, 2.5 to 3 seconds.
Yeah,
we can agree on that. In flag football, you got about 1.5 to 2. Your rusher is getting to you. Your rusher is 7 yards away. Nobody's blocking him. And these are guys that are running really fast.
Yeah, I would say more likely Lamar Jackson than Patrick Mahomes.
Well, Jane's getting great practice with this offensive line right now, so he'll be ready to throw the ball in 1.5
Yeah,
seconds.
He's just not going to commit to that. Like, there's just no way. Yeah. That's what it comes down to me, and I think Dell would back me on this. It's the commitment to training camp, to practice, to the making the roster there. Well, like he said, there's going to be an NFL season going on in September. You're going to have to choose. None of these current NFL stars are going to choose flag football.
All right. Dell_on_air. I got one more question before we let Dell go, though. Are there any other countries that are good at this, or is this like a gold medal for us?
So on the men's side, it's going to be a gold medal for us.
Right.
The women, we actually just lost 2 times in a row. We lost in China for the World Games, and we lost in Panama, both to Mexico. Mexico and Canada are really good. They did gold and silver in both games. We took bronze in both. So on the women's side, the the world is catching up. On the men's side, we're still winning by 50. So
I'm preemptively mad now. Well, we don't have the world's best women's flag football team.
We were arguing about the wrong person. Patricia Mahomes is who we should have been talking about here.
Brittany Mahomes.
Yeah, right.
Somebody get Brittany Mahomes out there. How are we not? We better win that gold medal. That is my cause between now and then. That's U.S. Olympics.
On the women's side, though, we don't have the advantage. On the men's side, most men who play flag football have been playing football since they were, could play Pop Warner. Women's flag football has just become popular around the world at the same time as it's becoming popular in the U.S.
Yeah.
So these girls like Diana Flores, who is the face of women's flag football right now from Mexico, she's been playing, she was 6 years old. And that's around the same time the women here started playing. So we don't have that competitive advantage when it comes to longevity of who's been playing and who hasn't been.
This is a national emergency, Adam.
This has been informative. I like this. So are we in on our bet?
Yes, we're in on the bet that an active NFL quarterback will quarterback the U.S. flag football team.
Yes.
In 2028.
Outside of that, do you think there will be an NFL representative on the team?
Oh,
I would say
yes.
Over under at 1.5.
Is it five guys on the team? Is that right? Five guys on a side?
Five guys on the field at once.
Yeah, five guys on the field at once.
On the field at once.
Our starting lineup on offense will be at least four NFL offense players.
I'll bet you on that right now. Because I could give you it won't be a name player. Like, I could give you a Kevontae Turpin or something like that. But I don't think it's going to be the big star name that you're thinking. I'm taking the under on that.
There we go. All right. We've got action. Dell, you're very kind to join us. I'm going to go watch flag football videos. Thank you for making it. Tell everybody how they can listen to your podcast.
Dell on air, Dell on air, Dell underscore on underscore air. Number one flag football podcast on the planet right now. Nobody else in another country is doing it like I'm doing it. So Dell on air podcast on Instagram. We're on tonight, and we're actually talking to three of the best women's flag football players that aren't currently on the team that are looking to make the women's team because, we took a few L's, so we got to revamp. So we'll be talking to the best players and the best female players in flag football right now that aren't currently on the team.
Let's go. Get them motivated. Get them going. Dell's the right guy for the job. I believe that. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Now
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, Wednesday morning countdown to play Chesterfield. We're about 13 minutes away from checking in with James River High School on our weekly segment. I also want to get to the G League basketball player who committed to Louisville yesterday and will play college basketball for Louisville. If you're asking what's going on there,
I am.
Please know, I also am asking what's going on there.
Okay.
Get ready for the next frontier of there are no rules in college sports.
Where's the line, Bob?
There are no rules anymore in college sports. You Stubb flagged this story for me yesterday, which I appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the news out of Baltimore? And I had not yet seen the news out of Baltimore, so I appreciated it. And then like seven other people all say, did you see the story? Yeah, Stubb sent it to me.
Stubb broke the news.
Yeah, lay low, everybody. Stubb sent it to me. I've got it. The Baltimore Ravens are the first NFL team of the 2025 season to remove the ping pong table from their locker room. Big news. This is a time-honored NFL tradition where losing teams either add a ping pong table or subtract a ping pong table based on whether or not they have one. The Redskins, of course, did both over like about a six-year span there, spanning Shanahan to Gruden to the start of Rivera. Ron Rivera didn't just bring in the ping pong table. He also brought cornhole in, which was
inside.
I agree. Not an indoor game.
That's just objectively wrong.
Can I tell you my other objection to the cornhole table?
Please do.
Not the table, but the boards.
The boards, yeah.
They're loud.
Yeah.
You get the bang, you know, of the, and so you're in the locker room and people are getting ready and people
trying
are talking.
Trying to get in the zone.
And you're like, oh, thump, thump.
Yeah, I hate that.
I mean, not like a ping pong table's quiet, and a locker room's not a quiet environment, but that the thump was particularly jarring.
It's got to be jarring.
I was able to tune out the ping pong table. I was not able to tune out the cornhole boards.
Well, there's some heft to those.
Great news, though. They went on a losing streak. They got them out of there because they need to focus in on football. Dan Steinberg of The Athletic pulled this. Boston Globe columnist Ron Borges, 30 years ago, in the Boston Globe.
Whoa.
It's time for Pete Carroll to lock up the pool table for a few weeks, put away the ping pong table, and put the bowling tournament on hold.
Bowling tournament?
I don't know if there was a bowling tournament or not.
What are they doing? They're not playing any football over there.
As a time-honored tradition in sports, calling for the ping pong table to be removed or adding a ping pong table because everybody's a little tight. We need everybody to loosen up, need to build some camaraderie, build a little family. Whatever it is, the Ravens had a ping pong table. They've been winning for a long time. So getting a little complacent, mm-hmm. ping pong table's out of there. Best ping pong player on the Washington Commanders?
Oh.
Tress Way, and it's not close.
Really?
He's really good. Second best ping pong player on the Washington Commanders.
Uh-huh.
Jeremy Reeves, safety.
All right.
I'm not sure that's where I would have gone straight there at number two. Tress makes sense.
It wasn't my first guess.
Tress is the punter.
Sure. Yeah.
The punter has to be the best golfer, the best...
He's got some free time, right?
He's got a little free time. Tress Way invented a board game. He has a board game in print.
He's not proving me wrong on this.
He's got time. He's also punting the ball well. Matt Gay makes a board game. Would tell him, why don't you focus on football for a minute here, buddy?
Take that ping pong table out.
I need you to not be... If he's good at ping pong, he needs to not be showing anybody. He needs to be throwing games the other way. Like, oh, I just haven't had any time to practice my ping pong. And just too busy trying to learn how to make a kick of more than 40 yards. Unsuccessfully. It just became annoying when Brandon Aubrey like just casually made the 61. And it's like he wasn't a first round pick. He wasn't all world. They just found a soccer player and were like, what if instead of kicking the soccer ball, you kicked that ball? And he was like, well, that's not round. It's like, nah, just give it a try. And now he's a great NFL kicker. Why can't we do that? Every once in a while. Just a little bit. That's all I'm asking for. That's all we need here. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM as we roll towards Monday Night Football, long week here as we get ready for the Kansas City Chiefs. And a lot of hand-wringing. I understand why. George is already coming at me on Twitter. I get that. I'm predicting good things for them Monday night. Will they win? Will they lose? I think they'll win. Look, if Mahomes beats them, Mahomes beats them. It's a Joe Witt defense. That said, I believe in the quality of guys in the room. I believe in the guys they've assembled. I believe in Daron Payne. I believe in Frankie Louvu. I think Frankie Louvu's good. I think Sandra Still's good. I think they have good football players on that defense. I think Bobby Wagner's really smart. I don't know if he's good anymore, but I know he's smart. I think there's a lot of opportunity here for these guys to redeem themselves for the national TV game. I know they've got a few of them. But to get back on the right track after an atrocious showing in Dallas. And I do think Debo's coming back and maybe Terry as well, which would obviously be a big lift for this team as well. And anyway, I'd say I'm just excited to go to Kansas City. I am excited to go to Kansas City. I was looking at my barbecue schedule, though. All the barbecue places are closed on Mondays.
Oh.
That's not going to work.
No.
We're there on Monday.
What are you going to do?
I got to wait all day for Monday night and not eat barbecue?
You going to go tailgate?
I'm going to go find some barbecue.
Yeah.
I'm going to go find a cow and put it over a fire. I don't know.
Get it done.
Sometimes you got to DIY. Sometimes you got to do it yourself.
No barbecue.
That's what I said.
They're not going to make an exception?
They better. It's a game day.
Yeah.
They have to make an exception on a game day.
It just would feel wrong not to.
It would feel wrong not to. You don't have to wait until Monday for Virginia Tech football. They'll play Friday night under the lights in Blacksburg against Cal, headlining a college slate this weekend that includes UVA going down to Chapel Bill, take on Bill Belichick, BillBelichick.com, fighting Jordans. You went to the website yesterday, I saw.
Oh, I sure did.
Yeah, as advertised.
Adobe Photoshop.
Yeah, just need a little Adobe Photoshop, you're good.
And Jiffies.
Could we hire Jordan to make our website for the Fan?
I'm going to try.
I think it could give us a boost. Cavaliers 9.5-point favorites against UNC. Normally, it'd be like, he's got to get one eventually. I don't think he does. I think everybody's really excited about beating Bill Belichick. I think there's just a ton of energy of like, wait a second, we're playing Bill Belichick? We're going hard this week. Nah, they're good. You don't have to worry about it. I think teams will continue to go hard. It's a little bit like, you know, VCU basketball. When they have a down year, teams continue, like, it doesn't matter. Nobody's letting up on it because it's your chance to beat VCU. If you're a college kid, this is your chance to beat Bill Belichick. Are you kidding me? Everybody's going to go hard on that. Everybody's going to take advantage of that opportunity. And I think UVA will on Saturday. It's the stretch run here for the Wahoos. If they can hold serve, they'll be playing Virginia Tech with a trip to the ACC title game on the line, which is a thing I did not foresee us saying a little while ago. We're going to take a break, take a commercial break here. We will be back. It's Play Chesterfield. We'll go out to Chesterfield. Check in with James River High School right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
Catch up with anything you missed on the free Odyssey app, Apple Store, and Google Play. A two-bet morning between myself and AWOD. We have a bet on who the quarterback of the U.S. Olympic flag football team will be and how many NFL players will be on the flag football offense. So we've got, what is it? We got 3 years to settle this. We got time. By the time we settle this, we're all going to be in different places. I was told we're going to move into a new studio downstairs, so that'll probably happen by then. There's food downstairs coming too. All right, I want to get to the G League kid because this is great. London Johnson has played the last 2 years for the Cleveland Charge in the NBA G League. He has committed to the University of Louisville to play college basketball starting this year. How did that happen, MP? The NCAA has changed its rules and will now allow you to have been a professional player as long as your professional league was developmental in nature. So you can't play in the NBA. LeBron can't go find his eligibility and come back and play for NIL money. But if you are in a professional league that's developmental, you can go back to college. I'm actually thinking of the Kickers guys, because all those Kickers kids, I wonder if they could go back to college now at age 20, 21. They probably could, who go from the academy to the Kickers, because that's you could make the case that's developmental. If you're saying that's the most insane thing I've ever heard, just know Tom Izzo has your back. He's Michigan State coach, and here's what he thinks about all this.
You know, I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I listen to people talk of how kids changed. Kids aren't the problem. We're the problem. This was sprung on us again yesterday, where a guy can be in the G League for 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden he's eligible. Most of my people knew nothing about it. I don't think our commissioner... I mean, I am not real excited about the NCAA or whoever's making these decisions without talking to us, just letting it go because they're afraid they're going to get sued. So you're right. I said that this really bothers your coach if you're Michigan State fans. But if you want a silver lining in a cloud, I am going to call Magic tonight. I'm going to call Jaren Jackson, Miles, Gary, Max. To me, it's ridiculous. To me, it's embarrassing, and I love my job. I don't respect my profession, and I don't respect who's ever doing that. Whoever made those decisions, because they're afraid that a lawyer's going to sue them, sooner or later, you got to fight the fight. And, you know, somebody's, if we would have been aware of it, if somebody would have talked to us, maybe it's me, maybe I'm the dummy, but I'll never agree to that stuff. I think we're really hurting the freshmen in high school. I mean, the seniors in high school, giving them a chance, and we're just going to... What's the age limit now? Is it 30? You know, if you have 3 beards and 2 mustaches, are you illegal? You're not allowed to play? I mean, what is it going to be?
Okay, you had me there until the... I was good until that the last little... What, 3 beards and 2 mustaches? I don't know. That part didn't add up at all. Do you get... I have 1 beard. Do you get more as you get older? Is that something I need to watch out for? I don't know. Tom Izzo's older than me. Maybe he knows about the second mustache that you get later in life. He's right, of course. High school kids should have a chance to play college sports. College sports should be primarily for 18 to 20, 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, call it whatever you want to call it, with the occasional Armando Bacot, you know, age 24, sneaking in there. That's what college sports are all about. I think we can all deal with the NIL and the portal to an extent, although everybody hates the portal. This feels like it fundamentally changes the fabric of college sports, though. Leave high school, go play somewhere and get paid for a few years. Come back and play college NIL. Right now, you're just a AAA system now. You're just a glorified minor leagues now. That part, I think everybody can agree with. And good on Tom Izzo for saying it. And there's so few coaches left to say it because so many of them are fed up with the way things are going now. We had a Richmonder event last night. Ed McLaughlin, Matt Roan, the JMU and VCU athletic directors were answering questions from people about NIL, about paying the athletes. I was struck by both of them were very much like, this is a reality. This is a thing we're doing. We have to just make peace with it and be good at it. Yeah, like, you know, Ed McLaughlin would say, the VCU fans don't want to hear we're fighting for the way things used to be and we're going to be 10-21 this season. They want winners, and this is the new system. And he doesn't waste a lot of time lamenting what's lost. He spends his time thinking about how to win in this system. And I think that's the exact right approach. Same with Matt Roan, building a football team over at JMU. I think that makes a ton of sense out there. And yet, you know, they both multiple times said, somebody's got to step in and regulate this. Somebody's got to step in and make some rules here. We'll play the Charles Barkley clip too here, because he was making that point the other day on the new Inside the NBA. That it's just, there is no regulation. There are no rules. Nobody is in charge here.
Well, my biggest problem is the transfer portal. You can't come and cherry pick my players, and it's really going to kill the small schools. The big school's going to come and cherry pick your players every year. And that's not fair at all. In the NCAA, I have zero faith in them. Zero faith in them. I saw a thing last year where they said junior college doesn't count, which is like, I don't think that's fair. If you're in college for 6 or 7 years, you should be a doctor, not a player. Yeah, if you're going to be in college for 6 or 7 years, you should be Dr. Barkley, not Charles Barkley, the basketball player at five different schools.
When Charles Barkley is the voice of reason, you know you got a problem here. Charles Barkley, voice of reason on NIL and the NCAA. Nobody's in charge. And look at football. Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, tells the NCAA what to do. They call him, Greg, what are we doing? What are the rules this year? How are we running football? He tells them how football's running this year. Nobody's in charge. That's the beauty of the NFL. You can like Roger Goodell. You can dislike Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell's in charge, and everybody understands who's the boss and what the rules are. We don't have that in college. NCAA doesn't make the rules. All right, we got one more segment. We'll hand it off to AWOD Radio. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Yeah, good show on this Wednesday. This started a long time ago when I said the Commanders would beat the Chiefs, and things just got better from there.
NFL League Meeting Day. They're going to do the Pro Bowl games during Super Bowl week as flag football. That took the spotlight there for a minute because we argued about that. But they're also discussing the onside kick. The NFL is not satisfied that enough onside kicks are being recovered. They're discussing switching to the 4th-and-15 proposal, which I'm glad you gave that reaction, Adam, because I'm super against that as well. Instead of an onside kick, you can have the ball essentially backed up to your own end zone 4th-and-15, and if you convert it, you can keep the ball where you converted it, which has a number of flaws, but I'm just going to point out the number one right now. In a desperation situation, everybody's going to throw a lob for a pass interference call, and you're going to have pass interference calls that give teams comeback wins. Nobody thinks through what this will look like downstream. It's like, oh yeah, it's hard to convert 4th-and-15. No. Onside kicks are awesome. Figure it out. Figure out a way to save it. Or just make peace with the fact that if a team's winning by 20 points, they're going to win the game. Unless they're the New York Giants, in which case they're not going to win the game. But to try to tilt and manipulate the rules so that there will be all these comebacks and all these great moments, like, that cheapens it. Part of why we love a great comeback, part of why that Giants game was incredible, was it hadn't happened in 1,600 NFL games. It's happened three times since the merger. That makes it special. That doesn't mean we need to do it every week. If you do it every week, it's not special anymore. I've got strong feelings on the onside kick, which maybe I don't about all the NFL rules tweaks, but I do think you fundamentally need to preserve
that if a team is really good for 55 minutes of football, they should not be submitted to this, like, five-minute points count triple ridiculous gimmicky finish. Because they played well for 55 minutes. That's the point of the game. That's why you go out there. That's why you prepare for the game. That's why you play the game. And, you know, the Commanders could have come back after halftime. It ended pretty quickly. It ended when Jayden Daniels got hurt. They had a window of time to do it in, though. You don't, oh, it's the end of the game, let's do crazy gimmicky things and let teams throw Hail Marys and bias this game even further towards the quarterbacks who can convert a 4th and 15, because there's definitely those guys out there. Yeah, the Mahomeses of the world can convert 4th and 15. Not every team can do that. There's enough favoring the offense in the NFL. NFL has enough offense. We don't need to add more to it. I think we'll get some offense Monday night. Commanders and the Chiefs on your home for the Commanders in Richmond. It'll be right here on 910 The Fan with the pregame, the postgame, all the trimmings, with a little time carved out for who's talking in the middle, because we'll still air that on Monday nights, coming off of UVA-UNC. Probably a happy crew or a really sad crew. One of the two on who's talking this week. Either preserve first place in the ACC or lose to Bill Belichick and be the one team he gets this year. And maybe the one team he gets lifetime in the ACC, because I don't think they're running that back for a second year there in Chapel Hill. Call it a hunch. I think we're watching the end of the Bill Belichick era in North Carolina. I predicted, though. I think the Commanders bounce back. I think they can win this football game Monday night. I think they will win this football game Monday night in Kansas City. I think this defense is going to do some soul-searching this week. That's the most despondent we've heard Dan Quinn in terms of, like, I got to get something done. He was bummed out after some of the previous losses, but it sure sounded like, I'm going to go do some things. Won't surprise me tomorrow when they go back on the practice field if Dan Quinn goes hands-on with his defense, if he's in there in the trenches with them working on that. And there are things I dislike about the offense right now, but I think Cliff Kingsbury on the whole is doing an excellent job calling plays. And the personnel may need some tweaking, and I think that, you know, I think the DQ influence on that may be true as well. I think it was Adam telling me yesterday, right? He sticks with his veterans for too long. He needs to get Bobby Wagner out of there for some snaps. You can't continue to let him play 100% of the snaps. You can't continue to just ride with Chris Moore, right? There's a point where you need to let the young guys have their time, have their moments. And whether that's Noah Igbinoghene, whether that's some of the guys you drafted this year, it's time for the Commanders to shake things up. But I think they will shake things up. And I also think there's a team that made the NFC title game last year. I don't think any win is out of reach for them. I don't think Monday night's out of reach for them. We'll see. That's a prediction that may be embarrassing on Tuesday morning. Either way, we'll be there with you on Tuesday morning, mopping up the confetti or drying up the tears at Arrowhead, whichever one it happens to be. I do know if they get blown out on Monday night, you're probably going to start to see the flex games, right? You're probably going to start to see some of these prime times become 1 o'clock and become 4 o'clock kickoffs, because the NFL doesn't love blowouts. You can handle one every once in a while, but as you see with these onside kick proposals, it's a league of parity. It's a league that loves making sure every game is meaningful, every game is tight, every game is close. I mean, look at the Panthers. Look at how often you see the Jets on TV now. They've basically been exiled. There's a middle in the NFL. It's very big. The Commanders are in it right now. When you fall off to that last tier, you don't get seen again. Giants are in that middle tier for sure. Giants could make some noise second half of the season. The question is, how do you rebound from a devastating loss like that? And that's one that could send you a lot of directions. That was kind of the loss I've been hoping the Eagles would take for a long time now. You get the Eagles a loss like that, I think they would melt down. Instead, it's the Giants. Jackson Dart, he's young. I think he can bounce back. I think he'll be fine. The Eagles, unfortunately, continue to win. So that's a bummer in Philadelphia there. But Dallas, you know, all Dallas knows is the chaos. You can't phase them with a blowout win or a blowout loss or whatever it is. AWOD Radio up next, 3 hours live and local. If you missed anything today, make sure to grab the podcast. It's available everywhere you get your podcasts. Search MP on the mic. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursdays with friends. Gary Hess by telephone, the new way we talk to Gary Hess. Parney finally had a winning record with his picks last week. 4-1, first winning record of the season. Is he on a heater, or was the broken clock right twice a day? We'll find out this weekend on Parney's Picks. AWOD up next. We're back tomorrow. You're listening to Richmond Soba, the Washington Commanders. This is 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.